We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for the Rami and Tim Show with your hosts, Rami Makhlouf and the franchise, Tim Allen.
It is the Rami and Tim Show on 1250 AM The Fan. And it's a Thursday. Thursdays are fun on the Rami and Tim Show. We'll get to news and notes a little later this hour.
Oh.
Eric, name.
So I've been doing news and notes now for many years. It's one of Evan. In fact, it's one of Evan's favorite things that I do.
I fought against news and notes. I'm coming around.
And today, I will say that we may have, at least in this configuration of a show, the best news and note I have ever run across.
Ever.
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 I think you might be right.
This is amazing.
Isn't it? I couldn't believe it. You called me this morning to tip me off to this. I could not believe it.
I had to. There's too many details just to text it to you because you couldn't understand the full grasp of exactly what I found.
When you were calling me this morning, because I don't get a lot of calls from Tim in the morning, like usually our first contact is our pre-show meeting. We talk off the air enough, plenty, you know, as friends will do. But usually I don't hear from Tim until our show meeting around 1 o'clock. And when you called this morning, I was like, uh-oh. Something's wrong. Tim's not going to be on the show today. And then it happened to be like just the greatest story ever and something that made me laugh and it brightened up my morning.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to lead to other things for sure. So this could have long lasting effects on this show.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, for sure. Also coming up on the show, in addition to the best news and note in the history of news and notes coming up at about 2:30 here on the Rami and Tim Show. We got drama in the NFL, quarterback drama. Mm. Ooh, man, juicy drama in the 3 o'clock hour. Eric Name, our Milwaukee basketball insider, joins us. Mock draft mania, or no, actually it's mock draft madness now. We changed it because we got an open for it and they put the wrong name in the open. So mock draft madness, and then following that will be draft mockery. And today's draft mockery was something that Evan did not want to participate in.
No, anything food related, he wants out.
I think he's planning on putting Frank's Red Hot on it again.
He might. Whatever it is. It could be like a cupcake. Like your favorite cupcakes. Okay, chocolate, vanilla, sprinkles,
Frank's.
Swirl,
and give Frank's. Give me a Frank's cupcake. Yep. Just gave me the finger on the other side of the glass.
Oh, we got more for you today, Evan. Don't worry about it.
It's going to be a fun day. I'm looking forward to this day. Hey! Should the Bucks extend Drew Holiday's contract right now? 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 1250 AM The Fan and get in on the Rami and Tim Show. We're in the Gene Wagner Plumbing Studios because today they can begin to discuss that. Today is the day that they can start to talk extension with Drew Holiday. And according to the article that I read, we're looking at upwards of four years, $134.9 million, Tim. That's the potential extension with Milwaukee that Drew Holiday could sign, according to Hoops Hype and USA Today. So should the Bucks just empty the pocketbook right now? Lock in Drew Holiday. You've seen enough. You want this guy part of the Bucks long term. 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 1250 AM The Fan. Tim?
4 years. NBA money is just so cool. I mean,
great.
For these
isn't it great?
Players. I know. It really is. And you know, I'm happy for the players, but they struck an agreement with the owners that hey, we're going to share the wealth here. We're all going to get rich.
And that's the agreement most players unions have. But the difference between Major League Baseball and the NFL and the NBA is that in the NBA you only have 12 guys, 15 guys on a roster, so that slice of the pie is getting divvied up to fewer people. So there's more to go around.
And it is a lot of money. And 4 years upwards of $135 million, that's pretty cool for Holiday. They're 3-5 without him this year. From everything I've read and listened to some sound throughout the course of this season, it seems like he's sort of, for what you believe in chemistry, which I'm a big believer in chemistry on all sports teams, Then you got to rank him as, yeah, probably we should do this. We might need to do this, Rami. And when it comes down to this big three, or at least big two, okay, if the Bucks have a big one and then two big threes, that's Holiday and Middleton, it's even more of a reason to say yes. Now, his on the other side, his wife and Holiday has mentioned, he wants to set up camp in Milwaukee. He wants somewhere to call home. Now, again, that could be contractual negotiation speak, if you will. It's possible. I mean, I don't know Drew Holiday. We don't know much about him personally. So when he says things like, we want to set up camp here, get some roots going in Milwaukee, I have no reason not to believe him, but a lot of times we're snowed by that. But again, for the sake of the team, you've got Middleton long term, several more years. You've got Giannis obviously locked up. And if you do get Holiday for an additional 4 years, well, why wouldn't you do that? There's your foundation now. Now you work your building around that.
And that makes a lot of sense, Tim. And I'm guessing that's what a lot of people are going to say. As we ask, should the Bucks extend Drew Holiday's contract? And they can do so starting today, 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 1250AM The Fan. And if they don't, they have him under contract through next season. It's not like he becomes a free agent at the end of this regular season. But, Tim, remember a couple days ago when we were talking about whose window is the most wide open of the three teams in the state, the big three, the Packers, the Bucks, and the Brewers? And I said, the Bucks window is open, but as far as this current iteration, this version of the Milwaukee Bucks, this Giannis and this particular coaching staff and supporting cast, like they could hit the eject button on this at the end of, I can see it happening at the end of this season if the thud is loud enough with the way that this season ends, Tim. I really could see major changes this year, and at the latest at the end of next year. And I know Drew Holiday, I'm not questioning the player. I'm not questioning the dude off the court, especially for everything that Tim just said. He'll probably be a tradable asset, if nothing else, if you do decide to sort of hit the reset button on this thing after this season or after the following season. But do you really want to lock in for 4 years with a guy who, like you said, Tim, like you just said, is probably a number three? And we've sort of come to the conclusion as a show, and I'm sure people will disagree, and Chris Middleton is also a number three. Is that the foundation that you want to set, or do you want to keep your options open to try and upgrade somewhere at one of the, and go find a true number two? You know what I mean?
Make it easier.
Or just leave yourself the flexibility to hit the reset button on this whole thing and put a completely different supporting cast around Giannis. If Drew Holiday doesn't fit what the potential next coach of the Milwaukee Bucks wants to do, if Chris Middleton doesn't fit what the potential next coach of the Milwaukee Bucks wants to do, then we could be looking at a different supporting cast, a different two, a different three, or both.
Wouldn't it be easier to get to kind of bait a player into Milwaukee if you had Holiday, Middleton, and let's just configure it that way then. It's Giannis, then it's an empty space in the two, and then two threes. Isn't that how you stack a team, though? I mean, to me, that's how you would lure another, a legit number two. Now, again, this is barring any finance decisions and cap space and all that nonsense. But, I mean, just on the surface there, just personnel-wise, if it's the one and two threes and then someone just steps in and you're one of the guys, that to me is pretty enticing. That would be very enticing for another player.
Well, if they're gonna get somebody who's a true number two, then they're trading probably Chris Middleton. Or if you sign Drew Holiday to this type of contract, then you're trading him, because that's I do know one thing about how money works in the NBA, Tim, and that is if you're making a trade, the money has to match.
Well, then the other teams are doing it. How the hell are the Nets doing it?
They find a way to match the money, and usually it involves roping another team into the deal and making it a three or even a four team deal to make all the money work. But the money that's going out has to match the money that's coming in. This much I do know about NBA salary caps and trades, etc.
Well, I mean, make it work, because I think some of us believe that the battle would be enticing someone to get into a a situation where they call Milwaukee home. And I get it. I'm not hammering Milwaukee. I think it's a great city. But when you compare it to a 24-year-old, 27-year-old with loads of money, and he can have a little bit of a play on to where he goes. You want to lay on a beach in Miami. You want to go to L.A. You want to go to New York. You want to go to these types of destinations versus Milwaukee. I don't know. I mean, you're going to have to make it more enticing on the floor side of things, on the personnel side of things, and then flaunt some rings in front of them, or at least the potential for some multiple rings in front of them. That, to me, this would be a building thing. This wouldn't be the end game. Connaughton and DiVincenzo and Lope and all these other guys, are they not expendable when we're talking about those three guys in Giannis, Middleton, and Holiday?
Well, yeah, but you have this goes back to our Packers conversation that we keep having. You have to field the whole team. Like we only think about the all-star players and we want to give them all the money, Tim. We want all of them, so we want to give them all the money. But you're not gonna do that. Like, you have to fill out a whole roster, and you have to sufficiently fill out a whole roster. Not pull Rami and Tim off the street and put them in a Bucks jersey and stick them at the end of the bench. Like, you have to sufficiently fill a whole roster, and there's only, well, we don't know how the salary cap works in the NBA, neither you nor I.
No.
We know that there is only so much money to go around in assembling said roster. So yeah, those guys are expendable on some level, but at the same time, from a basketball sense, you better replace that production some way, somehow, and that's going to cost you something, and probably close to what you're already paying those guys.
Yeah, and it will be tough, but again, there are some good things that are coming out of Holiday that you really like. I mean, this the quote back in December on setting up roots in Milwaukee, he said, quote, "That's exactly what I want to do. I want to grow with it. I want to be here. If it's more MVPs from Giannis and more playoff appearances with Chris Middleton and we get some rings along the way, that's kind of my ideal situation." His wife, as soon as the Bucks acquired him, his wife contacted the organization immediately and said, "How can, you know, the foundation, Drew Holiday's got his personal charity, and how can we get involved in the community?" I mean, it seems like a good fit. DiVincenzo just the other day said, man, just having him back, maybe not necessarily on the floor, having him back is really kind of putting smiles on our faces. He keeps us all happy and keeps us all loose. Those are all indicators. And again, it's not the production on the court necessarily. It does lead to better production.
The production on the court has been good too, Tim.
It's been really good.
The reviews on Drew Holiday have been almost nothing but positive. The dude, the member of the community, the basketball player, like, I haven't heard a cross word about Drew Holiday, but that doesn't mean that you automatically just put that contract in front of him, 4 years, $139 million, and say, yeah, we want you to be a part of the Milwaukee Bucks for the foreseeable future. I mean, or does it? 414-799-1250. Should the Bucks go ahead and extend Drew Holiday? They can do so starting today. Is this a no-brainer? Did I say $139 million? $134.9 million before the Twitter fact checkers get me at Rami is tweeting. Should the Bucks extend Drew Holiday? 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 1250 AM The Fan. Rami and Tim, 1250 AM The Fan.
This is funny.
It's the Rami and Tim Show, 1250 AM The Fan. A radio.com sports station asking you right now, should the Bucks extend Drew Holiday? 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 1250 AM The Fan. Tim got a bad haircut. That's what I was laughing at.
Don't you hate that? Don't you guys hate that when you get a bad haircut? And, you know, it's such a futile feeling.
I trust his head of hair in very few hands, Tim. Right? And it's like literally in the course of my life, like a handful of people have been trusted with this head of hair. And currently, right now, it's my sister-in-law, who's a barber and stylist and gives me free haircuts. That's part of the cool thing about it. But she's also just really good and does exactly what I ask for.
You know, I should know better. This crazy gal, she literally is crazy. I think so. And she kind of knows it, too. She's in my phone as Crazy Sue.
I didn't know you were going to say all this on the air. I just said you got a bad haircut. You don't have to put Sue on blast. That's unnecessary.
She needs to. She needs to be. I have to remind her each time before each haircut, number one, bring your glasses. Okay, that's just a
dude,
healthy
you gotta find
customer
a new barber.
Service.
If you're a barber reminder. Out there.
And don't smoke pot before you come over. Wait till afterwards.
I was trying to Those stop you.
Two key elements.
I keep trying to cut you off before you keep putting Sue on blast. Poor Sue. Just find a new barber, man. Just find a new, if you're a barber, hit up at Tim Allen Rants.
These guys know. You got your audience knows what it's like.
Yeah, that's
you're
what I'm saying.
You're kind of bummed and you're miffed and you paid money to someone do a hack job on
That's
you.
Why you got
to
find someone you trust, someone reliable, somebody who does what you ask for each and every time or just knows what you want. Like Tim, you've had the same hairstyle since I've known you. Yeah. So you should be going to the same barber every time who knows.
I have been.
And she screwed it up? How did
one
she
out
screw
of every
it up?
Four, out of every four haircuts is horrible.
Dude, get a new barber. What are you doing?
Well, I thought the ratio is decent.
No, that's a terrible ratio. That's a
terrible.
No, you, dude, a barber needs to bat like 950, man. 750 is not.
But it's so convenient.
That is
it's
not.
About half
that is
the,
not
half any, the price.
I don't
she
care.
Goes door to door. You know, it's I don't have to go anywhere. It's just, whatever.
I'm sure you can find somebody else who's convenient and gives you a haircut, a good haircut, and the one that you want, like 9 out of 10 times, if not every time, Tim. Because
9.5 out of 10.
9.5 out of 10. Yeah, I can't believe you're still going to the barber when she gets it right. What did you say? 3 out of every 4.
One out of every four, she does bad.
Yeah, that is not acceptable. That is not even close to acceptable. All right, let's get back on track. Do the Bucks have to extend Drew Holiday? 414-799-1250. You can tweet us at 1250 AM The Fan. To some people, this is a no-brainer. Like Carl from the South Side, he said, "Is the sky blue?" But then you have guys like Drewby. Then you have guys like Drewby who say, "No, you traded all your draft capital, both your point guards, and depleted your depth in order to get him, so Giannis would be enticed to stay. I'd let him walk." And Claxton agrees. Claxton the third, to be exact, says same.
Claxton, I love
Claxton
it.
Claxton the third. That's fancy. Says extending Beauty. Drew is a waste, really. You got to let him walk and draft a new point guard once we have a draft pick in 2025. You wait until 2025, Claxton the third? No, man. You have an MVP now. You don't wait until 2025 to do anything.
See, that's what I'm saying. This is written in that you have at least those three. That's going to continue to be highly competitive. I think we can all agree on that, right? Regardless of whether you agree that Middleton is a superstar or a star, he's somewhere in between at the very least. And so you do have all three of these guys for multiple years. Sooner or later, you're going to put the right combination around them. I agree with the one guy that said it is a no-brainer.
Danny tweets in, they have to extend him, but if the Bucks want some cap flexibility to add to the roster in the offseason with more than vet minimum contracts, having him opt out and waiting until summer to sign him after you make additions to the roster to go over the tax could be the better move. Danny sounds like he understands the salary
you
cap.
You might be right.
And the luxury tax is better than
nothing
you
I can say, Danny. You got me there. I'm going to trust you.
Yeah, you're probably right. Tim and I are both going to say that you are probably right. We'll ask Eric Name. He knows when he joins us coming up at 3:48. Speaking of Eric Name, over at theathletic.com, he had a little breakdown yesterday, Tim. The second half of the Bucks schedule was released, and some interesting highlights on this thing, including almost right out of the gates, man. After they start the second half schedule with 5 of their first 8 games at home, the Bucks hit the road for 9 of 10 games.
Wow.
To end March and begin April. It starts in Los Angeles with the Clippers and the Lakers on March 29th and 31st. And then you're going to go to Portland, Sacramento, Golden State, Dallas, Charlotte, Orlando. And then you got a little bit of a break with Minnesota and Atlanta there at the end, Tim. But we saw what happened to this team. And they were without Holiday. You have to give them that. But we saw what happened to this team the last time they had one of these extended trips out west. And it was not pretty. And I don't know exactly how to treat that trip, Tim. Like, do we just kind of give them the benefit of the doubt and say, yeah, 6-4 is probably the best we can hope for there. 5-5 maybe with the way we've seen them perform on the road this year and
the funky schedule and travel that teams are dealing with? Or do we need to see better in this long road trip than we saw in the last long trip out west? I'm not quite sure how to treat those 10 games right there.
Yeah, if you've got the 10-game window, 9 of those you're saying are on the road,
nine
right?
of the 10 are on the road, yeah.
9 of 10. Let's just lump the whole 10 in there.
Oh, Charlotte is at home. I lumped them in with the road trip. So it goes for 2, Portland, Sacramento, Golden State, Dallas. You come home to face Charlotte, and then you go on the road for Orlando, Minnesota, Atlanta.
Yeah, well, let's just say all 10 of those games are in there. I think it's paramount to win one of those games in L.A. So that will show you that whatever changes you're making now, whatever chemistry you're creating now, whatever you're working on now, trying to improve on now, it's got to give you a payoff at some point. I mean, it does have to pay off that it's working. You can't just throw your arms up and say, we're still working on stuff. Well, we're still working on things. The roster is a little bit different. So you got to get within that 10-game, Rami, I think 6-4, their road kind of woes. And I think most teams will say this in all of sports. You go across country, east or west. I mean, it's a challenge in itself. But I would like to see one of the wins either against the Lakers or Clippers at their place. Would be a nice little payoff that things are working. So 6-4 with one of those victories in L.A.
6-4 is the bar you're setting for that 10-game stretch there.
A minimum.
With 9 of 10 on the road, I mean, heading out west for 6 of them?
Yeah. They had the 6-gamer and they came back 3-3, right?
Yeah.
That was the most recent just a couple of weeks ago.
And this is basically another 6-game trip out west followed by and then you come home for 1 and then a 3-game trip out east, Orlando, Minnesota. And Atlanta. So 6 west, yeah, 3 east with a short
stop
at home.
And the 6, just the 6 out west, you would want to go 4-2 and one of those 4 being against Lakers or Clippers.
And by the way, even that home game, it's a back-to-back. They play at Dallas on the 8th and then fly right to Milwaukee and play Charlotte on the 9th the next day. So even the home game you get is not much of a trip, is not much of a break, because then you're going to hop right on a plane probably the night of the 9th. You probably land on the 8th. Play on the 9th, and then hop on a plane the night of the 9th so that you can get one day off the road and rest in Orlando before you face the Magic on the 11th. That's a grind, dude. That's a serious grind right there. I'm with you. 6-4, but even if they end up 5-5 on that trip, I don't know that I would necessarily blame them, Tim, just because you look at how many back-to-backs they have. And they have 3 back-to-backs. Out of those 10 games, and 9 of them on the road, 6 of them out west to start the thing.
I wonder if we're going to get to the point, Rami, now where, someone might create the dialogue of, well, who have they beaten?
I mean, that's already started to some degree.
To a little degree. You lose against Boston, you lose against Brooklyn, you lose both against Toronto.
I read it somewhere today. Evan, can you check and see if you can find this somewhere? I think they've only won 2 games against playoff. That can't be right. I thought I read somewhere they've only won 2 games against playoff teams, but that can't possibly be right. That's my mind playing tricks on me. I'm misremembering something. I'm sure Evan can find it. The other interesting thing in the back half of the schedule, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday, Tim, but back-to-backs against the cream of the Eastern Conference, April 22nd and 24th, they'll host the 76ers, and then just over a week later, and with just under 2 weeks left in the season, you get the Nets back-to-back on May 2nd and May 4th. And we've heard players around the league, including, I think I remember, again, we're depending on my memory, which is not a good idea. I think I remember Giannis saying that these back-to-backs in this funky schedule in 2021 gives you a playoff feel, because you get the chance to see what a particular player might present in terms of how he's going to attack you, or what a team might present in terms of how they're going to attack or defend you, and then make adjustments and come back the next day and see if you can make up whatever was the gap between you and them in the first game, or correct whatever mistakes were made in the first game. And like I said, Tim, you're getting a measuring stick to see how you could look against those teams in a similar scenario. And B, we could be talking seeding in both of those games and trying to hold off or take over the 76ers and the Nets for the 1, 2, 3 seed. Who knows?
Three of your final 36 against Philadelphia, one or two of those back-to-back, as you say. Let's see. We chalk up the Utah loss. the two Toronto. I mean, I'm just going through in my head. Yeah, who have they beaten that were like, yeah, huge win? I'm just saying. At some point, they've got to get paid off here with some hard work and some changes and roster turnover. And at some point, it's got to settle in here.
Claxton clarifies, by the way, Claxton III said, guys, it was sarcasm. Of course you need to extend Drew or manage signing him when it's best for the Caps. Some analysts were saying that what we sent to get Drew was comparable to what you could have gotten for AD. Can't just let him dip after the season. That would be tough to swallow. Yeah, it would.
Yeah.
Let's get in Troy on the east side. You're on the Rami and Tim show. What's up, Troy? Oh.
Good topic. Glad to talk to both of you guys. Rami, I started listening to you around 2011, 2012, man. You were on the big show, and this was the whole Joe Paterno, Joe Pa issue, and you brought a lot of passion to that subject. So, you know, I've been a fan since.
Thanks, man. Appreciate that.
Tim, I am a baseball guy. I grew up in Kansas mm-hmm. City. So the Royals, George Brett, Freddie Patek, Hal McCray, Paul Sudaroff, Dennis Leonard, all those guys. I am a baseball fan to the core. So it'll be good to have you guys on for the Brewers things. But with regard to Drew Holiday, yeah, he has the Milwaukee fit. I mean, he has like a humbleness about him. And you can tell when he plays, there's a little, he's got a little to him. They're a different team when he's there. So why not sign this guy, lock him up with Giannis as Giannis tries to take the next step. You can see Giannis trying to figure things out. I think they'll get better. And I actually haven't given up on this year. I mean, we you know, a lot of people wanted the Bucks to, you know, destroy the team that won, you know, 60 games in the regular season and faded in the playoffs. I'm actually not one of those guys. I enjoyed winning regularly in the regular seasons and hope of winning a championship. So I still think that we can get it together this year. But like you guys just got through talking about, we will need a signature win. You know, sometimes the losses are not that. But if we can get that signature win where mm-hmm. they've got something to hang their hat on and like, hey, we can build around this, I think they'll be okay.
Yep. No, I'm with you. They do need a signature win. And they need a payoff. Like I said, we all want to be paid off for our hard work and effort and good attitude.
Which you and I bring to the show every day.
Well, right, sure. Yeah, my attitude is in suspect sometimes, I gotta admit. But
no,
okay,
no, never, Tim.
No,
I'll quiet, good soldier. You just show up and do what's asked of you.
I don't want to cause any trouble around
no,
here.
No,
you do my job.
No, you would never ruffle feathers
and
or
take
stir
off,
the pot but, ever.
Yeah, thank you, Troy. Because I used to watch the Royals play back at County Stadium in the day. Danny Tartable, and even going back to Brett Sabering, Frank White. You mentioned him. Hal McCray, one of my favorite players. He was on my favorite player list, and is. I don't know why. I'm not sure why.
Is it the rant when he was the manager of the of the Kansas City Royals?
No, it was before that, Rami. Honestly,
that was such a good rant.
It's a great name. I mean, it's just a great.
It is a good
name.
Baseball name.
Hal McCray.
His son was one of my favorite players when I was growing because he played for the Cubs, center field for the Cubs. Brian McCray,
Royals and Cubs.
Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, thank you, Troy.
I know we're going to get to this later, Tim, but you know how much I love quarterback drama and just watching everything that a guy does on social media. In the last 2 minutes, while we're sitting here talking about the Bucks, and we'll get back to this a little later in the show, Eric Name joins us at 3:48. Russell Wilson, if you haven't read the piece at The Athletic, and we're going to talk about it a little bit in the 3 o'clock hour, go and read it because it is juicy.
Stunning.
About the rift between him and the Seattle Seahawks. He tweeted out just video of him working out, doing it's leg day apparently, and the tweet just reads "all fuel." Very ominous by Mr. Russell Wilson. Then, like 2 minutes later, Deshaun Watson tweets out, "Loyalty is everything. Don't you all caps ever forget it." don't know if either of these guys are talking about football or talking about their situation, but that's where I'm applying meaning, Tim. Just because I want to. Just because I want to, and
well,
we can.
They're setting the table.
I love watching this stuff. I love watching all of this unfold. Even if this means nothing. And every tweet J.J. Watt puts out there, people are trying to decipher it and put meaning to it. All of this could mean nothing, but I'm enjoying the process of trying to figure out what it all does mean. Loyalty is everything. Don't you ever forget it, says Deshaun Watson. What does that mean, Tim? What do we mean?
Well, I would agree with him. I mean, it's I don't know if there's anything cryptic in there, but my guess is it's Houston Texans related. It's Deshaun Watson drama. And not that it's created by him, but there's something there, Ronnie. We can safely assume there's some sort of message.
What about all fuel?
Yeah, from that Russell one Wilson. I don't know. That may be just, hey, I'm working out. Here's where I'm at. I'm all fuel, you know.
Never skip leg day, by the way. I don't know if you know that, Tim. Don't skip leg day. Can't skip leg day. It's the most important workout day of the week.
Skipped it for 40 years.
You've never done a leg workout?
You can't improve balsa wood, Ron.
All right. I guess you have a point.
It's like a piece of petrified wood that you find laying in the desert.
After this break, it's news and notes, and maybe the best news and note in the history of news and notes. Mm-hmm. Rami and Tim, 1250 AM The Fan. Rami and Tim, 1250 AM The Fan. Coming up 3:00, and now looks like the Packers are going to lose both their big free agents, and one of them said as much. That's coming up at 3:00. Also, Eric Name, our Milwaukee basketball insider, back to some Bucks talk with him at about 3:45. But time now for news and notes. I haven't hit the music, young man. Tim Allen?
Where do we start today? We want to save the best for last?
Yeah, I think we do. I think we saved the best for last. Yeah.
Evan, yeah. You want to stick around for this? Don't be, you know, those of you, if you want to call, we're going to put you on ignore here for a couple of minutes. Evan, yeah. I want you to pay close attention to this.
Phone lines are closed for a minute.
I'll start out with the Warzala brothers, Rami.
Oh, the infamous Warzala brothers.
They are inducted into the WPVGA Hall of Fame.
Of course, the WPVG. I mean, I know what that is, Tim, but for those who don't, just let those in the listening audience know what the WPVGA is.
Have you seen this?
Huh? Yeah, of course I have. I know all about this. But
finally get their plaque in. I mean, I'll tell you what that Hall of Fame is in just a second. This comes from Plover, Wisconsin.
Right? Yeah.
Two individuals inducted into the Hall of Fame at the industry's annual ceremony earlier this month.
The industry.
Two brothers.
That one industry.
Well, we'll get to that in a second.
Yeah.
In large part, the two brothers are receiving the award because the father started their farm back in 1953. Norm and Mark Warzala.
Of course.
After graduating high school, were given the opportunity to pursue additional schooling or join Clarence, the dad, in the family potato business. They chose to work with their dad, a decision
they
will regret. Their farm grows 1,800 acres of potatoes, along with 3,400 acres of other vegetables, the company called Warzala and Sons. Now, what is the WPVGA? It's the Wisconsin Potato and Vegetable Growers Association. True story, Rami.
Not kidding you. And they were inducted into the Hall of Fame. There's a Hall of Fame for the Wisconsin Potato
and Vegetable Growers Association.
And there's a Hall of Fame. Look, man, farmers are the backbone of our nation. We don't eat without farmers. I'm not here to demean or besmirch farmers in any way, shape, or form. But there's a Hall of Fame?
Oh, man. I mean, forget about the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame. WPVGA. I love it.
Tim is putting away the mic right now to go grow potatoes to see if he can get into the WPVGA Hall of Fame.
Yes.
All right.
Yep.
This next story comes to us from Pierce County, Washington. A pair of burglary suspects were arrested early Saturday in Tacoma. Deputies with the Pierce County Sheriff's Department were called at 2:39 a.m. to the 3400 block of 72nd East Street. When a deputy arrived at the scene, he saw two men fleeing, authorities said. Instead of running after the men, deputies checked the house first to determine if a possible crime had been committed. A detached garage had a broken window on a door, officials said, and a canine was deployed and followed two sets of footprints in the snow, one leading from the garage to a church parking lot where a man was found hiding in a dumpster under a piece of cardboard. A second set of footprints led deputies to a tree, and they called the second man to climb down. Both suspects were arrested and booked into the Pierce County Jail for second-degree burglary and obstructing an officer. The man found in the dumpster was also booked for unlawful possession of a controlled substance. How do you not realize you're leaving footprints in the snow as you're fleeing the scene of a crime, Tim Allen?
Agreed. At least walk backwards. Try and throw them off.
Let's see. Just go in circles for a while.
This one I'll connect to sports a little bit. Rami, I'm sure you've heard this. Some of our audience may have heard about this as well. I just have a couple of questions on this. The Baltimore Ravens' Matthew Judon threatens to release photos of ESPN reporter at strip club.
I had this one in my notes.
After a Twitter spat, he was not happy about the report by Jamin Hensley of ESPN about his contract. Linebacker makes that threat of releasing old photos of him at a strip club. I'm waiting on your ESPN-sourced apology, or I am leaking these photos I got with you at a strip club. All right.
At that point, haven't you already basically released the, like, even though we didn't see the photos, the damage is done, dude. Like, whatever leverage you thought you were throwing out there, you just gave it up. You already called them on the carpet.
I am not a strip joint expert, Rami, in any way, believe me. But
debatable. But go ahead.
Last time I was in one, this is exactly what I heard in my ear. You know, because that, you know, some of these performers, if you will,
I think that's fair.
They kind of swoop in on you. They want to know what they've got here. So I hear in my ear, check this out. This is exactly what I hear. I'm not kidding you.
I want you. You have rubles for me.
I'm not kidding you. That's exactly what I heard.
Was this Dracula? The Dracula?
No, it was a Russian gal.
Dance? What happened?
No, it was a Russian gal. and so I'm like, sure, you want me. I, out of all the guys that walked through that door, I'm the one. Yeah, right.
But you know what?
See, and it's not illegal to be at a strip club.
Not at all, no. But, I mean, it might be in your home. It might be in your wife's eyes. Illegal to go to the strip club.
True.
That's not, I mean, yeah, it's okay with me, and it's okay with you, Tim, and it's okay with the law, but I don't think it was okay with Mrs. Hensley.
I have a very understanding girlfriend, and she's just boys are going to be boys.
I mean, yeah. What's wrong with a little strip club fun? I'm good for one or two trips a year, Tim. And like,
see, that might be more than me even, Rami. Once a year?
Not in this last year, because who wants to go where they're wearing masks and can't get within 6 feet of you? That's no fun.
Okay.
That's no fun at all. But
now, granted, I've heard the horror story, the stories about, you know, back rooms and private dances and all that. So I don't know what pictures.
Remember the one that we went to in Arizona? Remember the saddest strip club that we ever went to in Arizona? Where there were six stages in the place, but the lights were off on four of them, and they were empty. And there were times where, and this should never, like, look, I don't know how to run a strip club. It's not my expertise. It's not my line of work. But there should never be a time at a strip club where there are no performers on stage. Like,
none.
Like, 15, 20 minutes would go by, and there's no entertainment, man. Like, what am I even doing here and paying these jacked up prices on drinks for? When there aren't even performers, Tim, that was the saddest, most low-budget strip club experience that I've ever had in my life.
Yeah, I agree. There were four of us that walked in, and we were four of the six in the crowd.
In the whole place.
Yeah.
In the whole place.
That was terrible. Should we get to the main event, or do you have one more? Because all I have left
I've got one more. Just
all right.
I've got one more. It ties into yesterday's draft mockery. We did draft a music festival, and this was one of my performers, Bruce Springsteen.
Mm-hmm.
So charges were dropped on the
boss. They did drop the charge. I did this as one of the stories when he got the DWI charge while you were in Vegas, Tim. So nice follow-up. I like it.
Yeah, they dropped a drunk driving charge stemming from an incident. The rock star was so low with the blood alcohol level that it didn't warrant charges. It did not warrant the charge. However, he did plead guilty to a third charge of consuming alcohol in a closed area. Facing a judge and over 100 video onlookers, Springsteen sat next to his lawyer and admitted that he was aware that it was illegal to consume alcohol at that national park in New Jersey. Quote, I had two small shots of tequila. Okay. You have a small shot, you have a big shot. Is that the deal, or is a shot a shot?
I think a shot is a shot.
Okay, he had two small shots of tequila. The judge ordered him to pay $500.
You could take a double shot.
Yes, you could. $500 plus $40 in court costs. And Springsteen responded with, I think I can pay that immediately, Your Honor.
Yeah, I think he's got it.
I think he can
probably swing it. What I said about that situation when it happened, Tim, was everybody involved was kind of dumb. Like, Bruce Springsteen was dumb for doing what he did, but the cops knew he wasn't drunk. They were kind of dumb for handling the situation the way that they could. Like, the whole thing could have just been diffused. And everybody on their way, and no worse for wear. He wasn't his blood alcohol level was 0.02, and I have no loyalties or bonds to Bruce Springsteen to defend him. But the whole situation just seemed kind of why are you taking shots of tequila while you're sitting on a motorcycle in a national park where alcohol is banned and there are cops within eyeshot? And then if you're the cops, why are you charging a guy with a DUI when you saw him take one shot of tequila? And he had a 0.02 blood alcohol level. Everybody involved was just acting stupidly and could have prevented the whole situation from happening.
Yes, sir.
Do you want to hear a bad strip club story, Tim, or should we keep on moving? We got a caller.
We have another strip club
story? We have a caller on the line. All I see in my comments is bad strip club story.
Let's do it.
Did he tell you the story, Evan? Is this?
No, I kind of just...
Is this for air?
We'll find out.
Oh, that's good producing. That's good producing right there. All right.
Is any strip club story ready for air?
There's the filter.
Yeah, I mean, I cleaned ours up. There was a lot more to that story, dude. I cleaned it up. Let's go. All right, we're going to give it a try. Blame Evan if this goes wrong. J-Mo, Bayview, what's your bad strip club story?
I won't curse or
okay.
any profanity.
Or be too descriptive, if that applies here.
No.
Okay.
So, our story takes place in a magical land called Cudahy.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's there anymore. This is the late 90s. Myself and three other gents decide we need to go see some female bodies and whatnot. And we're in Cudahy.
That's one way to put it.
So we should go to the Afterglow.
Okay.
All right. We roll up on this place, as you do. And the first thing I noticed, it was strange, it had a screen door. You could just peek on in like you walk up to the porch and there it all is for you.
And there's Aunt B and Opie and everyone else, yeah.
Might as well have been, because we walked in through the screen door, and the first thing we hear is, look, people!
Terrible sign. This is a terrible sign. I'm leaving right now. But
you might want to turn around. I got to know what happened.
I'm guessing you didn't, though, J-Bo. Carry on, sir.
So we're tempted to, mind you. The quality of ladies for the evening's entertainment was less than prime, let's just say, for sure. And then fella behind the bar smoking a cigar and smelling of English leather and stale booze says, it's four bucks for a pass.
Okay.
And that's when we decide to turn around
did it. Ain't no way I'm paying four for a pass.
Not there. No. Thanks for the call, J-Bo. I appreciate it. If the if the entertainment was... Now our phone lines are blowing up with bad strip club stories.
We got to.
Now, do we? We might have to. literally, the phones are exploding right now. People who want to tell bad strip clubs. Should we do this? We had a story ready for what were we doing? News and notes. We had
what we've been
promoting as the best news and note ever. You want to?
We've got.
You
want to
sidetrack? All right. Okay. Evan is shaking his head. No, he doesn't.
No.
He doesn't think we should do it. Why not? Hold on one sec. I turned your mic off. Go ahead.
I just want to hear this story.
This the one that's on hold right now?
No, I want to hear this incredible news and note that Tim
okay.
has been hyping
All right.
up.
So how do we want to handle this? Should we got a break?
I think we should take a break.
We should break and then quickly take the bad strip club stories.
I want a bad strip club story.
Only the couple on hold.
Okay,
please. I want to take
please. Please. Don't let these guys push you around. 414-799-1250. Seriously, it's funny.
All right. Rami and Tim, 1250 AM The Fan. Good stripper song. Rami and Tim, 1250 AM The Fan. We were in the middle of news and notes, and I think we're going to get back to news and notes. We said at the start of the show, I mean, we really, really hyped up that we had the best news and note in the history of news and notes, Tim. But then I told a bad strip club story from our trip down in Arizona because you had a strip club story in news and notes. And then we started getting calls about bad strip club stories. And Tim said we got to. Just a couple, just so we're all fair on this.
Other staff members of the fan here. I was purchased from Sparky a birthday lap dance. That was fun in Vegas 1 year. Gary Ellerson out in Arizona had to give Billy our buddy a speech about man.
I remember that. I was there for that.
You know where you're taking this boy.
That was before we went to the bad place.
You better be careful taking this boy there.
Yeah, that was before we went to the bad place. And Gary was
I got
right.
it. Gary I'm a was, grown man.
Gary was 100% right. We should not have gone there. Aaron, not for the reasons Gary said, but just for other reasons. Aaron, South Milwaukee, you're on the Rami and Tim show. You apparently have a bad strip club story. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, bud. As soon as I heard you talking about the afterglow, I had a flashback to my childhood.
Your childhood?
Oh, yeah. So my buddy lived about 2 hours away, and about from 10 years old to about 12 years old, that screen door was our favorite thing in the world.
Wait, you're talking about the same strip club with
this is iconic.
With a screen door on the back, and they were surprised people walked in.
Oh, they had it on the front. They had it on the front too. Right up after that.
Dude.
So finally, about after 2 years, we got a little ballsy, and we finally made our move, and we got about all the way up to the stage, being kids. Guys just sitting at the bar, turned their heads, looked at us, looked back the other way. A lady came up to us, completely topless, and said, "Hey, sweetie, are you guys looking for your mom?"
Okay.
Probably see more C-sections in that place than a maternity.
Jesus.
We'll leave it on that. Good
Thanks
luck,
for
guys.
The call.
Oh, famous place in Cudahy. Wow.
Who knew the afterglow was so famous?
So all famous. Right.
Last one. One more. And it's David in Bayview. Did you also go to the afterglow?
No, but I live over that way. No, mine was we had a bachelor party bus, and we went to the airport lounge, and I had this late 90s, so I had this kick-ass New England Patriot hat with the actual Patriot down. My favorite player was Tony Eason from the early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
So the next day I wake up, I don't remember anything, and I'm like, where's my baseball hat? Where's my Patriot hat? So I drive back the next day to the airport lounge, and I walk in, and I'm like,
it's the only thing she was wearing? Is that what you're about to tell us?
I'd say you can keep it.
That was what I was wearing. I had my hat on, and I was like, do you guys have a lost and found? And the guy looks at me, and he's like, boy, you on drugs. You have no lost and found here.
You leave something here, it's gone.
Yeah, you're not getting that back.
I never saw it again.
Thanks for the call, man.
All right, thanks.
It.
Yeah, no, the last time I was at a strip club, I was thrown out. It was Glitter Gulch in Vegas.
What did you do?
My brother-in-law and I were little. He didn't want to pay his bill about the private dances and all that.
Oh, man.
I'm trying to work it out with the bouncer, and the bouncer is saying, you know, we take credit cards. I'm like, he didn't agree to anything. I mean, he's got like a $400 bill. And finally I go, well, how much to make this all go away? And the bouncer looks at me and goes, give me 20 bucks. And I go, hey, Dennis, dude says all this will go away for 20 bucks. Dennis goes, I'm not paying Jack nothing.
Wow.
I'm like, are you kidding me? $400
bill and he couldn't pay 20?
No kidding. So,
wow. All right.
Yeah.
Evan, put the music back up. Back to news and notes.
Final news and note. This one, we have done a little investigation.
No transition whatsoever.
We have found a connection between a one Evan Mark Heffelfinger and News and Notes. Now, we are now aware, after doing some back-channel investigations, that, Evan, you are aware of this. Rami, why don't you give him the news?
And this this was a tip from Tim's son, Ty, watching Jeopardy yesterday. This man was a answer on Jeopardy.
I think I know where this is going.
William Pudge Heffelfinger.
Mm-hmm.
And the birth of professional football 120-plus years ago is now fairly well known. Heffelfinger was paid $500 to play one game for the Allegheny Athletic Association. On November 12th, 1982, or excuse me, 1892, yeah, he helped Allegheny defeat its arch rival, the Pittsburgh Athletic Club, 4-0, and became the first known pro football player.
Yep.
However, not too many people know additional details about who Heffelfinger was as a person. Listen to the life this dude lived. Through the Pro Football Hall of Fame's important mission to honor the heroes of the game and preserve its history, promote its value, and celebrate excellence everywhere, the Ralph Wilson Jr. Pro Football Research and Preservation Center staff hasn't... Oh, I'm sorry, I'm reading the wrong thing. William Walter Heffelfinger was born on December 20th, 1867 in Minneapolis. His father was in the shoemaking business and dabbled in real estate. Pudge, his nickname, Pudge Heffelfinger...
Okay, Pudge.
...played baseball and football at Central High School in Minneapolis, before making his way to Yale University, where he attended the school from 1888 to 1891. His exceptional and natural athletic ability earned him legendary status on campus very quickly, playing on both the offensive and defensive lines. Heffelfinger was named to Walter Camp's All-American team 3 times, was a major football power during that time, and Heffelfinger helped lead the team to an undefeated season in 88 and 91, accompanying one-loss seasons in 1889 and 1890. The 1888 team amazingly outscored their opponents 698-0 that season. 698-0.
Now, for those unaware of it, our producer on the Rami and Tim show, his name is Evan Mark Heffelfinger.
His name is Pudge now.
Now it's Pudge, yes. But that's his name, Heffelfinger.
Following his days at Yale, Pudge began a career in coaching, where he made stops at the University of California, Lehigh University, the University of Minnesota. He also frequently returned to Yale to help the football team prepare for contests against rivals Harvard and Princeton. In the 30s, he founded Heffelfinger Publications. There's Heffelfinger Publications? And we didn't know this?
I didn't know this. That's about to be my next job.
Which produced sales booklets for football and baseball equipment. He also spent time working for his father's shoe business and later in the real estate business. Heffelfinger went on to find success in politics. He was a Minnesota delegate to the Republican National Convention in 04 and 08. He served as Hennepin County, that's where I lived, commissioner from 1924 to 48, and even, although unsuccessfully, ran for Congress in 1930. Wow. Pudge maintained his playing shape throughout his life. Even in his 40s, it was common for him to return to Yale. This is the part of the story that gets me, Tim. This last paragraph. And the coach would give him a jersey and let him play with the second team during practice. In the early 20s, he played in a pro game against the Columbus Panhandles. What kind of name is that? Which featured the famous Nesser brothers. Of course, the Nesser brothers.
Yes.
He continued as a regular in pro charity games up until his mid-60s. He played his last organized football game in a charity event in Minneapolis at the age of 65.
Whoa.
Take that, Tom Brady. Pudge Heffelfinger has got you beat.
Pudge.
How did you never tell us you were related to the first ever pro football player?
I feel like I've said this on the airwaves.
You haven't said
before.
It to us.
I said
no.
It on the morning show.
Okay.
Totally unaware.
Because
of it.
Sparky came across a tweet probably 6-8 months ago with him. And yeah, we're not sure the exact relation to my family, but he is related. My grandpa confirmed it. he has like his rook. He has a football card. My grandpa has it. There was a book that was written about him. My grandpa has it.
Amazing.
It is confirmed. Yeah, he was an offensive defensive lineman at Yale. Literally, this club brought him in because they needed to beat the other.
He's
team.
A ringer.
Yeah, he was brought in to help win, and they did. And so with that payment, he became the first person to get paid to play football.
It does beg the question, is it all right if we call you Pudge now? You finally have a nickname?
I am thrilled with that.
Heffelpudger?
Let's go for it.
Can we call you Heffelpudger?
Sure.
All right.
Pudgy finger?
That is cool.
There's so many ways to go with it.
There's news and notes. The wildest and best news and notes in the history of the Robbie and Tim show.
Crazy.
Now we know it looks like the Packers are going to lose both their big free agents. Which is going to hurt more? And by the way, one of them basically said that today. Rami and Tim, 12:50 a.m. The Fan.